Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Media and Investor Conference of LM Group. I'm Alice, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Nicolò Bossi. You will now be joined into the conference room.
Okay, hello, good morning, and welcome everyone. Thank you for joining our Investor and Analyst Conference 2018 on lsb.com. The focus today is on giving the sense of our business shifting for a model which is more holiday flight centric and from a pure transactional flight and hotel model, according to the strategic direction that the company took at the time of the IPO, and that was consolidated after the acquisition of lsb.com. We will conclude with a Q&A session open to all people connected and people present here in the room. I'm here today with Marco Corradino, lsb.com, and Sergio Signoretti, our CFO. Before starting, as a general statement, you know we have a disclaimer, and so I remind you such a disclaimer on page 2, and on the importance of being cautious in the evaluation of forward-looking statement included in this document. So now I let Sergio introduce the financial section, starting from the picture of the group organization, and Marco will talk about business and strategy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nicolò. Good morning.
I'm starting from the of the group, which you know is listed. We have a holding with Dutch base, of which CEO is Fabio Cannavale. And then we have two different, business areas, of which lsb.com is one. Marco Corradino, who's present here, is CEO of lsb.com. lsb.com is organized into three business units. So the OTA, the mail, the media. We'll get in detail into the numbers of the three business units. You see the brand represented on the right part of the charts. And in the venture initiatives, which is investment that we have in, non-core areas, but which contribute to the profitability of the group. In terms of closing figures, so let's talk about 2018. 2018 has been a record year in terms of numbers, in terms of both revenues and EBITDA. You see here represented the comparison versus 2017. So we have closed the year with 26 million, 751 last year. You see the contribution of the OTA business, which includes the revenues and the meta business. And in terms of business EBITDA, which is the core indicator of the performance of the business in our mind, and then we will see the cascade of how the business EBITDA transforms into net income, 44 million euro, which is a 60% plus last year, of which the OTA is contributing for 2/3, 30 million euro, and the meta search is contributing for 30 million euro. So this is so far the record in terms of numbers, which corresponds to 60 million euro growth versus last year in terms of business EBITDA. Where does this growth comes from? It comes primarily from the OTA world. Almost 9 million euro, 8.5 million euro from the growth of the dynamic package business, which is boosting everywhere, boosting in the country. This is the result of the diversification, actually. As you see on the right page, the holiday packages world, so the combination of DP and tour operator business, is contributing today 50% of the overall gross margin of the OTA. So it's surpassing flights in terms of overall contribution. But then we have also a very significant contribution of the successful integration of BagDA. BagDA is the company that we have bought at the end of 2017 from the ProSieben Group. Is one of the market leaders in Germany in the tour operator business. And last year it was at break-even. So we are not talking about a delta in perimeter. We are talking about a successful integration story because the company now gains 7 million euro of EBITDA versus substantially nothing, which was the result when we bought them. The Meta business has contributed for $400K in terms of higher business EBITDA, so most of the growth is coming from the OTA and is organic. Other two things that I would like to mention is related to the diversification strategy that we have adopted since the acquisition of lastminute.com. One is the fact that the value-added services are growing and growing. That is a clear result of our strategy. So the revenues coming from ancillary now represents approximately 16% of the total sales. They're growing 80% versus last year, reaching an overall amount of €45 million. And media revenues are growing despite the fact that the desktop traffic is going down. And that, you know, creates more issues in the capability of monetizing that traffic. Despite that, we are having an increase of 13% versus last year, revenues from media achieving €23 million overall. This is the trend at page 7 of the overall revenues from 2016 to 2018, dividing the contribution of the OTA, divided OTA between the flight portion and the non-flight portion, so the travel and leisure piece, and the Meta business. And here you see that the overall compound annual growth rate over the 3 years has been in the region of 8%. But what really is the dark blue piece of the bar, which is related to the travel and leisure business. And actually, the travel and leisure revenues has passed €9 million in 2017 to 24 in 2018, corresponding to the 43% of the overall picture. One comment on the flight revenues. Flight revenues were decreasing 2017 on 2016, and you see that there is still a slight decrease 2018 versus 2017, but now, starting from fourth quarter last year, we are growing again. So we are seeing, and that result again, last quarter last year, and first quarter this year, it's growing double digit. Marco will mention that afterwards in his presentation. This is a picture related to the overall footprint. In 2014, prior to the acquisition of lastminute.com, revenues were 50% less, were half of today, mostly concentrated in Italy, Spain, and France. Today, we have a distribution which is much more spread over the five major markets, which includes, of course, the UK. So revenues are the double, no, as they were in 2014. And what is important to notice is that also in terms of contribution margin, we have a contribution margin in the OTA which is very equally spread about the five major markets. And that is also important in terms of risks. So there is not one country which is significantly bigger than the others. We have a well-balanced footprint, both in terms of revenues and in terms of contribution margin in the five major markets where we operate, which is, again, UK, France, Germany, Italy, and Spain. Let me go to the EBITDA, so page 9. This is the trend of EBITDA from 2016 to 2018. You see the massive growth again in 2018, which is mostly generated from the OTA, as we commented before, which has doubled the EBITDA 2018 versus 2017 as a result of the dynamic package growth and of the successful integration of LTA. This is the major, highlight that I want to give you. The Meta business is contributing for €13 million EBITDA, which corresponds to a 23% EBITDA margin, which is very interesting in terms of contribution to the profitability on a percentage standpoint. So overall, the EBITDA margin is growing for the combination of the growth of the two businesses and for the fact that the cost base, as you will see in the following slide, is substantially flat. So it's increasing with a very minor rate. EBITDA margin is in the region of 15%. I was commenting the cost base. So this is the fixed cost base representation, which includes the HR cost and includes the overhead and IT expenses. We are talking about an increase of approximately 5 million euro year on year, of which 4 million is coming from the integration in the consolidation perimeter of BDA. So we are talking about a cost base which is substantially flat year on year, and this is also the strategy for next years, for the next years, in order to, you know, grow in terms of EBITDA, keeping stable, substantially stable, in line with the growth of inflation. What is our cost base, which is composed of HR cost for 57 million euro and overhead and IT for approximately 26 million euro revenues. How business EBITDA translates into profitability? So the first message is that, this is page 11. So the first message is that we are positive, we are net income positive. Last year we were losing 8 million euro. This year we have again a net income of 8 million euro. So there is a change in sign with a swing of 16 million euro year on year. How we arrive to the 8 million euro? We need to deduct the corporate cost. Corporate costs are related to the piece of the organization which does not contribute to the business. For example, a piece of finance, a piece of legal. So that is corresponding to a segment of the central function, which is not attributable to the three business units that I was commenting before. Then we have a loss of one of the venture initiatives, which is Destination Italia. This is a venture that we have with Banca Intesa, which we have started up a couple of years ago in order to promote the inbound traffic flows in Italy, still losing money. This is a point of attention for sure, but in 2019, we have a plan which is leading to approximately 1 million euro net loss, and they are in line with the plan so far. Then I would comment the extraordinary items. 5 million euro includes approximately 3 million euro of restructuring for the integration of BEC, including the restructuring cost for the integration of BEC-DA, which have generated synergies that then have contributed to the positive EBITDA results that you've seen. And so we arrive to a reported EBITDA of 27 million euro versus 8 million euro last year. So we have tripling the reported EBITDA, more than tripling the reported EBITDA. And this allows to arrive to a positive net income of 8 million euro versus the loss of 8 million euro of last year. So a swing, as I was saying, of 60 million euro year on year. In terms of cash, so this is the situation in terms of cash flow generation. We have, if you concentrate on the comparison between 2018 and 2017, we have contributed for 20 million euro incremental cash flow. Year on year, and that is mostly generated from the cash from operations. So if you sum up the reported EBITDA and the net working capital increase, we have generated 42 million euro cash from operations, and we have substantially financed the share buyback operation with two financings of 30 million euro. The 28 million euro, which is reported in the slides, include the first repayments of the tranche that has expired prior to year end. So at the end, 73 million euro cash as of year end versus 52 at the beginning of the year. So approximately 21 million euro increase, which translates into a net financial position of 32 million euro, taking into account that we have financial liabilities that we need to deduct. Which includes the 30 million euro financing that we have taken in order to fund the share buyback operation. So I would say that this corresponds to, you know, the massive increase on the EBITDA generation that we have commented in the previous slide. I will now pass it on to Marco related to the business strategy, and then we'll catch up again in the Q&A session.
So, thank you very much, Sergio. So, I will have less number, but more, let's say, words. So basically, this is the strategy that we have for our three business area. Next year, we will try to represent also the media, let's say, business unit in a different way, where this year the media business, the revenue generated are attributed to the two other business units. But next year, we will change a bit. On the OTA, as Sergio and Nicolò explained, we focus a lot on the holiday business. When we refer to dynamic package business, dynamic package is our own product that combine dynamically flights plus an holiday, an hotel, a rail, tickets with an hotel, and so on and so far. When we refer to tour operator, we refer to the reselling of package that are offered by tour operator. And we think that in the future, our dynamic package business will completely replace the tour operator business. That is the end strategy. Then I will comment. Flight business for us, it's important. We are relaunching the flight business, changing completely the way that we do business there. And we have very good results in the last 6 months. And we will continue to launch other services. The ancillaries, what we call ancillaries, that is, for example, sales of insurance product, financial product, but also services to the travel. You see that was quite important, and we think we will continue to launch so far, particularly focus on financial services. We think we have a huge opportunities on financial services for traveler. Is a market that is untapped so far, and I think we are very well positioned to do that. That is for the OTA. For the meta, we will continue to maintain our leadership position. New opportunities. Last year we bought HotelScan, so it was another vertical, and the result has been very good. So we are looking in that kind of direction, but also open new geographies. We expect to open Japan and South Korea in a couple of months. And so meta search business as let's say, a strategy, very agile. Quick strategy, a sort of blitzkrieg, but I think will be very successful. For media for us, it's important. You will see we are launching a lot of stuff, particularly a new generation, let's say, media company and new formats, I will comment. So we think to grow through organic improvement, because the business organically is growing very well, but also we are always open to find opportunities that are not organic to grow, like VEGDA or HotelScan last year. Having a look a little bit at the OTA part, that are our brands in the OTA, what we see? We see this is the, let's say, the overall European market. For example, in 2018, the value of the European market or vacation market is 286 billion euro. What we can see, the 49 of this market is still offline. That is the number that it's very important. And when 49 is an average of flights, car rentals, tour operator and package. When we look, for example, at the vacation business, holiday business, we are still at 30. So Germany, that is the biggest vacation market in the world, is still of 25, 27 online penetration. So it means that 50% of the market, 80% of the market of vacation is offline. That is the market that we are focusing on. And if we look at the core market, that here, this slide, what it show? It show the growth of the market. For example, in Germany, the market is expected to grow 2.8, but the online market in Germany, we grow 7.2. This means that if we just maintain our market share in these five markets, we simply grow two times than the average market, because normally the online growth is two times of the average growing rate. So basically that is the reason why, let's say, dynamic package is so important for us, because we think that dynamic package is the product that we replace tour operator package. We have two main advantages. One is flexibility. With a dynamic package, you can, decide to leave on Wednesday and come back on Sunday. You don't have to wait at the classical Saturday package of the tour operator. And the second is price. Our dynamic packages for the same product is cheaper than the other. So it's more, let's say, close to the new generation, the millennial generation, and is also cheaper. So this think why we are growing so fast. And this is the growth. If you see, we had growth 40% year on year on dynamic package. What I would like, let's say, on the right, that you notice is that overall, when we bought lastminute.com in 2016, you see on gray is the number of hotels sold just only when someone just book an hotel. And on pink is hotel combined with other, what we call dynamic package. If you see, hotel only in more our share, but we grow as on a dynamic package. So this means that we move from a classical online travel agent like booking.com or Expedia to a more modern tour operator that is focusing on vacation, and is a lot. Particularly, we are focusing the growth on sun and beach destination. That is the most important part of our business so far. And we have a unique selling proposition for this kind of product. Our technology also is very good, not only the product. We are providing our dynamic package solution to other competitors, Kiwi.com and particularly Booking.com. Booking.com last year did a sort of contest in order to the provider for this kind of solution, and then they adopt our solution versus all our competitors, each and all the other market. And we are pretty happy about, let's say, the partnership that we have. Good product and good technology on the market, so this is why we think we are in a position to grow. On the traditional business, with the acquisition of VEGDA, we became also, a decent, reseller of, tour operators. That year, you see what VEGDA did in 2017. Basically, was more or less zero, a BDA. In just 1 year, we were able to generate 7.6 million EBITDA from this kind of operation. So I think it's a very good restructuring. And it's important for us, because that is the way that we want to replace a tour operator. Knowing what the customer wants, we will substitute the tour operator package product with our product. So that is important, not only for, the BDA, that it's always very interesting, but it's important in terms of data, information that we could have, and the position that we have in the market. First 3 months of the year in dynamic package is growing 76. So basically, we think to double our position in Germany by the end of the year. That is the largest, war country for packages. Other product, Sergio is in charge of this stuff. You will see we are focusing a lot on financial technology. We are working on payment. We are adding payment methods and a payment solution. We are working a lot on offering banking services, credit service. We will be a very interesting and modern product in consumer credit. Insurance, we are one of the biggest, travel insurance in Europe so far, and loyalty. Particularly this year, we launch in UK our lastminute.com card that has been well accepted, and we will launch in Euro, in the rest of Euro, I think, by the end of the year. Yeah. This is the OTA strategy. On top, we are exploring new geographies. We recently launched our lastminute.com in India. India is a market that we know well because we have an operation there. We have an office, we have people there, and try to understand. We are looking to Asia in general as a new geography to grow, because we think that is where we have, the bigger opportunity, because dynamic package vacation is not exist there as a concept. Particularly the opening of visa on arrival in a lot of destinations in Southeast Asia give us a lot of possibilities. So India is the first step, and we will see. It's very caution and a very conservative strategy, but so far the results are very good. This is the OTA. For the meta search business, we bought HotelScan, and we did So we enter in this new vertical, hotel meta search comparison. We did, I think, a very good job. Hotels Camping contributing so far in a very important way, and we think in the future the hotel meta search business will grow. On top, we will decide, as I told you, to enter in new geographies, particularly South Korea and Japan. For us, the meta business is very easy for geographical expansion because it's a very light, let's say, structure. We have just 50 persons in the meta search, let's say, business, and it's the way for us to understanding how a market, let's say, work and what are the dynamics inside the market and collecting information for the ETA expansion. Last part, our media business. I understand that the slide is a little bit difficult, but basically the meaning of these slides that so far we had two small companies on the family, Playbook and Medfish. Playbook is a consulting agency strategy. Medfish is a new generation, let's say, video content production. So basically, this, what does it mean? I give you an example. Supposing that, for example, the China Tourist Board, that is one of our, let's say, good customer, want to, advertise China for European tourists. We are able to go there with a consulting, let's say, strategy, with a plan how to approach Europe. We are able to provide them with content. So which kind of content you have to produce to engage European audience in five countries, video, modern, so video, images, photo, and whatever we will produce. And we are able to what we call trading desk to deploy this kind of campaign on our properties and on external properties. So our media team is not only selling our own properties, but is selling campaign just on Facebook or other competitor and whatever. So very modern, very dynamically. This is the new brand of the family. And we are also in this part for the consulting services. We are offering this kind of service to other company that want to do exactly what we have done in the last 3 years. Bring it in, because so we are going to the brand to explain, okay, if you want to do in-house what normally has been done from external in your agency, we will help you because we have done and we will explain. That's it.
Yeah. Thank you, Marco. As we were saying, the growth is not over. So we are growing very well still in the first quarter of this year. So to share the guidance for 2019, which is reach an overall revenue target well above the 300 million euro and increase in the region of 20%. So we have a range there, the core business EBITDA, so arriving between 52 and 54 million euro in terms of business EBITDA versus the 54 of where we closed 2018. This corresponds again to an average growth of 20% versus this year. This corresponds to an adjusted EBITDA in the region of 44-46 million euro, which means grow between 34% and 40% versus this year. This is we are confident about reaching these figures. Again, first quarter is showing that dynamic packages are growing very much in every countries still. So the strategy is paying and the flight revenues are recovering thanks to the strategy that Marco was commenting. So we are growing very well in flights again, which is very good news considering, you know, the trend that I was commenting you before. So that's where we should lead the company to. And I think, you know, that's the key message. So we are confident to reach it. I think that's all. And we are open for, you know, the Q&A session with you guys present here and with the people connected over the phone. Thank you.
In Winkelried, NZZ, one question. About booking, I mean, is it exclusive? I mean, you're the exclusive partner, and how profitable is this partnership? I mean, Booking is a very, very, very big company. I mean, and you are small company, so it's a little bit different. And you say the classical tour operators are dying out, more or less, you say. No? But these firms, they also have internet platforms and dynamic packaging. So they have, I mean, Thomas Cook, or, for example, they have a very, very famous brand. So what your prediction about this?
Okay, with Booking.com, it's not exclusive. You have to understand that we are also customer of Booking.com because we aggregate all the major bad banks in the world, including Booking.com, and we resell. Plus, we have our own negotiated hotel. So it's not exclusive, but we are, let's say, the main partner. Because what Booking.com did, it opened the platform, and based on the results, it decided to give more audience to the partner that perform, let's say, better. From our calculation, we are right now at 90-92% of, let's say, of the share. They give us 90-92% of the share that they have, but we don't have data. They will continue A/B test. So every day for us, it's, I can't say a surprise, but it's not totally depending on us. In terms of profitability, is a decent profitability. It's not obviously the best product in terms of profitability, but I think give a nice volume. It's totally automatic, very scalable. So I think it's interesting. It's about tour operator, I think, yes, if you look European market share, the second largest company is TUI. The first is Booking.com. And basically, that is the answer. So Booking.com was able to grow and to, let's say, and to become the number one exactly following this kind of digital strategy. Sorry?
Booking number one and
TUI.com is the second in terms of market share on the total market of vacation. We think that, let's say, obviously the dynamic will be there. So if I have to say it, my competitor is not, I don't see Booking.com or Expedia as competitor, obviously they are, where TUI.com is the market share that we want. This is clearly there. We have, I think, the capabilities. Because to become a digital and to restructuring a company, a traditional company, a digital company, I think it's very difficult. Normally, we don't have a lot of successful story in the past. So we will see. I think we have the capabilities to gain that market share.
Baptiste Leville, Kepler Chevreux. Can you be more specific about how you managed to shift the growth in flight, and can you tell us if you're profitable on the segment OTA flight right now?
Yes, we are very profitable.
Yeah,
flight OTA is very profitable, and the way that we are doing, we are basically what we change is that way that we manage pricing. So in the last 2 years, we did a lot of, effort in investing in what is called machine learning and artificial intelligence. I don't like a lot this word, but I could say machine learning. And we completely changed the way that we manage this kind of channel. Flights is the area where we are applying this kind of technology. So in the past, the traditional way to price in flight was, manual or decided by, human. Right now, we are able to manage a lot of different pricing for a lot of different customers, for a lot of different channels automatically. And that, I think, in a nutshell, that is the area where we improved a lot and we see the results. Obviously, for us, flight, it's more a marketing machine. In order to acquire customer, tend to convert to, vacation or product where we can earn more. I could say in the future that I think for financial services, we could acquire a customer through flights and cross-sell with financial product. That could be a way. And to do that, you need not to think at the profit that you get on the flight in the short term, on the transaction, but to create the life, value of the customer. And to do that in a dynamically way, automatic, is the area where we invested and improved a lot.
Gael from Kepler. Just a question on the media business. Is that some kind of consulting business, or what is the business model now? How are you going to monetize that business?
Media is easy to explain because basically we have a lot of, let's say, what we call audience. So it's people that visit in our properties. On average, we have a conversion rate around 4%. So it means that 100 people arrive on our properties, on our website, and just 4 buy something. The other 96 just look. Okay? How you have the possibility to monetize this 96? You have to sell something to this guy. The only thing that you can sell is advertising. So the media business is basically that. So serving advertising to this kind of audience. Obviously, it requires some capabilities because, for example, our competitor will give us very good price in order to show our, let's say, their advertising on our properties because we have interesting property. And we are doing that, but we need to know what kind of customer to engage with this kind of banner. So, for example, again, we come back to, let's say, the algorithm. So, because we have something that is called likelihood to buy. The likelihood to buy of a customer is higher. We will not show, for example, external advertiser. Likelihood to buy very, very low. So it means they will not buy from us. So I monetize through media. That is basically is the concept. That is where we started. Then we have a good sales force because we are more or less in the 60 people countries. We are pan-European, force on the field, a part of the big Facebook, Google, and whatever. So we are starting to see that we have a lot of requests from tourist board in order to help them to grow in this kind of country. And so we add other pieces like consulting, because when you go to British Airways, they want not to buy on your website, but they would like to have our know-how. We can monetize on that, but we need to offer in a different way. This is the consulting business. And then video production and the content production at some point arrive nicely, because when you go to speak with some tourist board, for example, China tourist board or Dubai tourist board, they would like to produce content, but they don't have the capabilities. And so we started to produce content for there. At a certain point, we produced so much content that was better to, let's say, to put on the side, because otherwise it was very difficult for us to understand where we are for our OTA or for example. This is the reason why this is not only, monetize better on market, but also to have more clarity on our, economics and return on investment. It's always very difficult because with a company that grow and with the profitability that is not pretty high because our margin are not, very, very high, we need to, focusing on our cost base and understanding very good the return on investment of every single action. Please.
Andreas Neff, AWP. I have a question about the EBITDA margin in meta search business. Why is this that high, and what's the specific on this chat cost model you mentioned in the press release?
Chat cost is a very good company. So very, agile, I could say. As I told you, are more or less 50 people based on technology. It's a marketing machine, and basically that is the example of a digital marketing. So this is where we think JetCost in a nutshell is our hope for the future, because we think JetCost was able to scale the business when we bought was Niccolò, revenues was 15 million to 60 million this year.
Yes,
so, and we didn't have to multiply per four the investment on the people. It's scaling. And that is what we want to apply for our business. Scaling is the keywords. We think we could, in 5 years, double our business organically without double our sites. This is, I think, is the way to go, because the other competitors are so big the only way that we need to, what we need to do in order to compete with them is to be more smarter, let's say agile, and scale faster. And JetCost has a lot of that. We have to enter in that I can't explain. I could say that the acquisition of hotels is successful. A lot of synergies, because also hotels can, when we bought, they were losing money. Now, using our methodology and our approach, they are gaining money. So I think it's a good case. We think in the next 3 years, the majority of the growth of the meta business arrive from, let's say, the hotel comparison part.
The first question from the telephone comes from Nicolò Pessina with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning all. Thanks for the very detailed presentation. I would have a few questions. First of all, the guidance for 2019 in terms of EBITDA is very encouraging in my view. So I would like to understand a bit more. What are the key drivers behind this strong growth of the EBITDA? Is it more top line growth? Is it more cost savings? What can we expect in terms of margin improvement? Second question, on the gap between the core EBITDA and the adjusted EBITDA, it seems like it will remain relevant also in 2019. So I wonder if you could remind us of what corporate costs and Destination Italia are and the reason why they impact negatively on EBITDA. And if you think that one day these negative items will diminish. Third question on the potential availability or interest to pay a dividend. I see that fundamentals are improving a lot. You still have a net cash position. So maybe paying out a dividend to shareholders could be an option. And last question on the M&A strategy. I'd like to have an update on this front. And I wonder in particular if there is anything that you believe is missing within the group today that you may look for outside of the perimeter of the company. Thank you.
Thank you, Davide. But I'm a little bit lost. What was the first one? The first one was?
The top line.
Top line. Okay, so the growth that is here is, yes, arrived from top line, revenue growth. All categories, all market, all geographies. We don't see savings. So basically, we are not increasing our sites, our structure. We will continue to invest more or less in line with this year. So it's just revenue, let's say, that will grow and penetration, that is.
So is it fair to assume a stable EBITDA margin? Core
Sorry?
EBITDA.
No, it's going to increase.
Fair?
No, it's going to increase. It's going to increase, Nicolo. So basically,
Okay. Basically
the strategy is, as I was saying before, the strategy is to keep constant our cost base. So basically, increase it in line with inflation. So no more than 2%. Okay, and that's a strategy. That's a strategy means that we are looking always on efficiencies on every piece of the organization. So not only on account, but also on the IT machine. Okay, which is a relevant piece for us for our cost base. As Marco was saying, we are growing on the top line. So basically, it's mostly flight and DP, which are going to generate those increases that you saw in the guidance. Okay, so that's the relevant piece. Okay, meta will increase, but not as far as the OTA. Okay, regarding the corporate cost. So corporate cost is a piece of organization, so it will never go to zero. So our way of looking at profitability, we try to monitor the business EBITDA, which is the core contribution of the three business units that we are describing before. So the OTA piece, the media piece, and the meta piece.
Okay, so what we define corporate cost is the piece of organization that doesn't give an active contribution to the profitability of the business. Like, for example, you know, the people who work on you know, tax matters, consolidation matters, part of the legal department, and so on. So we have isolated the part of organization that is not allocatable in terms of cost to the three business units and the related cost, which are, for example,
The corporate cost, I will see different from the cost of the organization, because corporate cost is strictly related to the fact that we are public, that we have an holdings, that we have different business, and so some constraint. Yeah. And also on corporate cost, every time that we have to do an operation, like, for example, the buyback last year, huge cost was on lawyers and consulting, that kind of stuff. So if we allocate that kind of cost to the business unit, you will see that the business unit has some cost that is not related with the business. So in this way, we can have more clarity on understanding the dynamics
profitability, of the real profitability of the three business units and of the core business. So with this respect, you know, it will never go to zero. So our plan is to keep them stable for 2019 as well, just to give you the answer to what maybe it was behind the question. Then related to Destination Italia, as I said, was an issue in 2017 and 2018. They lost a lot of money. I mean, now there is a restructuring plan in place. There is a revenue plan in place, which is so far respected. The plan is to reach 1 million euro negative EBITDA in 2019, which means be at break-even in the second half of the year, and then be EBITDA positive from you know, 2020 onwards. Of course, we monitor it closely, you know, because that's what we're doing. You know, it's relevant, you know, to try to avoid the distortions and you know, absorption of resources with regard to this. Dividends, maybe Nicolo can answer on this.
Yes, in terms of dividends, I would say that so far we have not decided to distribute any dividends. Our way to distribute dividends in some way has been to execute a share buyback. So this is the way we, first of all, we commit on the value of the company. We consider the share price as a fair price to be bought, in the sense that we consider we have upside opportunities, and so the share price will, can go up again. And so that's the reason we have decided to use this kind of tool more than dividends. Then in the future, we will see. It depends on our ability to generate cash, which is, I think, showed in the past, and I think will be more than that in the future, based on the guidance that we have released today. But at the moment, we have considered that the most appropriate way to, let me say, give this kind of feeling to the minority shareholders is the share buyback more than the dividends. Then I think that was the M&A question. Yeah. I think on the M&A, it's very clear. We are on the market. We have it's on our DNA to be proactive in the M&A strategy. We look at what happened outside. We look at inside, and we are every day scouting opportunities to growth. And so either it will be a small initiative like the venture initiative in which we invest to boost innovation, or like mid to large size deals potentially, as it was for lastminute.com, as it was for VegD recently, as it was for HotelScan. We are open. We are more of the view that being entrepreneur first, then also manager, we are active in the consolidation process. So we are looking outside, and if we find some interesting opportunities that fit well with our business model, I think we are always open to discuss with counterparts in order to grow again and be the leader in Europe and consolidate our market share in Europe.
So Europe remains the key area for M&A. If these initiatives in the meta search are successful in Asia, would you consider also Asia a potential area for M&A, or you still prefer to remain in Europe?
Our position is a leadership position in Europe. We know very well the market, and so I think we are very comfortable in doing things in Europe, but we are open to evaluate everything around the world. Asia is a very interesting market in the sense that it's growing structurally, so it's interesting for that kind of reason. But it's also interesting because our proposition, we think that our proposition, mainly the holiday business and the dynamic packages, is something that if properly managed there with a local partner, for example, I think is a way to develop our business there, but also capitalize the structure of that market in which dynamic packages doesn't exist today. And so if we are able to provide this kind of, let me say, value proposition there with the right partner in the right way, I think that's a good opportunity to evaluate. Yes.
All right. Very clear. Many thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question from the telephone comes from Peter Quaida with Skift. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So just to pick up on the M&A question, I was interested, you were talking about growing the business for the kind of the 96% of people who visit your site and don't buy anything. Would you be interested in buying something like a content business or a media business, something like I'm thinking of Lonely Planet or Culture Trip, businesses that specialize in providing content for tourist boards, that kind of thing?
Yes, the answer is yes. We are considering. We did in the past. We had done two small acquisitions in the past. One was Wayne. Wayne was an old social network that we basically bought and then restructured. Right now, the Wayne team is part of our, let's say, media team. And through them, we provide one of the solutions. And one of the growth, part of the growth that you have seen so far in media comes from this kind of acquisition. Then we bought this small, let's say, content provider in Southern Europe, Medfish, that produce video production, let's say, create video content. And we are looking on the market. What you quote are two very big company. Culture Trip, not a big company, but very well funded. So maybe it's a little bit expensive. But for sure, we are actively looking also in that sector.
Thank you.
No more. There are no more questions from the telephone.
Yes. No more? Okay, so we can close. Okay, I don't know. Thank you very much, everyone, really, for coming and for the support. Thank you. See you soon.
Thank you for attending.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.